When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. Be
goody.
And then say goody.
Goody.
Goody, goody. Welcome to the Goody, Goody. Today's episode features a dear friend of mine, very funny, been on late night. You can just Google it up and lap up the jokes of Mo Welch. But that's not the end of the intro. Mo just made a baby with her wife, Sam.
Mo.
What's that, baby? Say goody.
Goody.
And say, do you know that on this episode, Wolfie, Cleo, their little baby who's like, I think 4 months old, was on the podcast with her. She was wearing her in a baby Bjorn, and we talked about, you know, making these queer, beautiful families.
Can you say gay?
Gay.
Life?
Love.
Is?
Die.
Is the best.
I think you said die. Okay. Enjoy. Okay. Check, check. 1, 2. We are in the studio / my guest room bed with Mo and Cleo. Mo, you had Cleo how long ago?
4 months ago.
And
tomorrow.
Cleo, do you agree with that information?
She's got that hand in her mouth.
I have to say, like, looking into Cleo's face, it really makes me feel like me.
Yeah. She looks like she could be your baby.
She could be my baby, and then I just stare at you and like lick my lips. She just could be.
She could be my
baby.
She
really could be, and Wolfie needs a sip. There's just something so precious about being two women with a baby. It's like kind of was like what my stand-up was about
right.
As soon as Shauna got pregnant, because mm-hmm. There's something so delicious about it. Like, how was it for you guys? You and Sam as your wife?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good so far. She's kind of blowing her opportunity for...
No, I mean, honestly, if she doesn't make herself known during this podcast, then is she really Cleo Wednesday?
Yeah, is she really young Hollywood? We're going to see how this works. But no, it's good. Like, I mean, obviously, you have to really want a baby if you're going to have one as two women.
Yeah, and there's no accidents.
Yeah, so we really wanted to have a baby. And it was like...
And then was it like... Because for us, I met our donor. He was my surf instructor in Mexico,
right.
And it kind of just came, it like all came together after we met him. What was like the process like for you guys?
We actually went with a friend of ours. It's like a best.
I know him.
You know,
he's
yeah, yeah.
So
you guys
sweet.
Have met, and I love it because it's like a really open situation. So
yes.
Like, there's no secrets. There's like we.
I think that that's such a cool thing about future. Is present now is that we acknowledge, especially as queer people, how like damaging it can be to be like, it's anything, like literally if it's like your parents are divorced, your dad has alopecia, like whatever it is, there just in the past was this attitude about being different and being queer that it was like embarrassing. And now what a freeing time to be like, no, everybody's different, and we
right.
should just be like lean into the things that make us different, because they're the things that make us us.
Yeah,
who knew I'd start this pod with a speech to be the spiritual advisor to the next president.
I agree with all those things that you said. I mean,
that's the thing about the spiritual advisor talks.
You gotta agree, no matter.
You drink oxygen through your nose and it becomes a life source.
Yeah, she's, I did not want any more secrets. Like,
no.
I was like, I feel like I just kept it in, like, being gay for so long that
yes.
I was like, at this point, I was
did
like,
did you have
no.
such a secretive, like, just the, let me know what traditional combo of out coming out did you have?
Yeah. I mean, it was more like happened in my early 20s, and then like, but
you
also
realized you were gay.
Yeah, but like still was like had that like, well, I guess I'll keep dating guys, and then I'll also
well, it's
try
kind of like this.
This
curse also of being like a traditionally beautiful woman. I hate to diagnose you with that, but like you're like, you know, I think most people that meet you will say like you're an attract, like, and that you, I'm sure a lot of people, you get a remark that like you could be straight. Like you,
there's a lot in like at the beginning that's so confusing for me, because I'm just like, you know, I remember after a show in LA, like this guy just being like, Mo, I think you're an in the closet straight person. I'm like, just because I don't want to fuck you doesn't mean that I'm straight.
And it's also like, I think that you're looking at me and diagnosing me with what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of that. So then when we had a baby, I was like, I hope that we can have a situation. Like, I mean, I love your, you told me your story, your guys' story, like early on before we even, you know, had a donor. So I was I love that.
So you were, you guys are like a fam. Like having a donor was like, choosing a donor that you could be open with was going to be the path. And then and then how did you,
and then I had sex with him.
I mean, look, that's what everyone wants in the story. Yeah, like, and know. Then you got just back
like one night. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, not even in terms of like the insertion, but the insertion of the hatching the plan,
right?
Like, we, I just asked Ricky in the water.
That's so great.
I mean, it's all like, did you,
Sam asked him. He was going through a breakup, which was that's hard.
Also actually such a sweet like tradition, like in within this path of choosing to have a baby this way, it's such a sweet like role for like the me, for like the daddy to be like, to go and get the satchel of sperm to go out into the woods, out into the forest, dig within yourself and be like, can I please volunteer you as tribute.
It's so true. It's kind of like asking someone to prom in a way too. Yeah. It's really sweet.
Yeah. And forever prom.
Yeah, forever prom. And he was going through a breakup, so it was a weird timing for us, I guess, to come to him with that. But he took like 4 or 5 months to really decide. I went on tour.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And then when I came back, I was like, okay, like, we should do this now. You know, this is like good timing. So like, basically, do you want to do it or not? Because we have to move on if you don't.
Wow. Poo-poo number one. I'm hoping for a lot more poop on this pod.
Oh, yeah.
How many poops when they're 3 months old?
Man, like probably like,
wait,
five?
She's 4 months.
Yeah, she's 4 months tomorrow.
I love that I like have lost complete perspective on what they can do. Like, I immediately grabbed her, put her in a pack and play, thinking that she was gonna like start spinning a wheel, and she's like, "Bitch, I can't even lift my head." Like, she's what are
like,
you doing?
She's like, "I'm barely doing tummy time." I find like a lot of people do that. They're like,
they're like, no, I got this. I got this.
They'll hold her and
throw
they'll
a
have,
ball, yeah, basketball at her head. Like, come on, just catch. Like mom.
Yeah, like, don't you?
What's your story with basketball?
Be able to. I mean, I just love basketball.
You
like,
love basketball?
Yeah, like I've been playing since I was 10 or 12. And I mean, there was a time there where it was like 10, 12 years in a row where I didn't go a week without playing. Like, it's just my exercise.
What is the parallel between basketball and comedy?
Nothing.
No, come on.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I play a lot of basketball in LA. There's a lot of comedians who play basketball.
Yes.
So I guess that's the
comedians,
the parallel.
Bombing on each side of the coin.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like,
it's like
there are very few comedians that are like amazing at basketball, but I think it's just because I'm a lot of times the only girl playing. It just crosses over with comedy. But I will say that
I do like your swagger, where you're like, there's no fucking good people except for me in comedy and basketball.
I mean, postpartum, I'm so much different on
Wait,
the court.
Wait, tell me,
like. Okay, so I went back 2.5 weeks after having the baby. I was like, I need to get on the court because I just have to walk around at least.
Yeah.
And I took a shot. It like didn't even hit the backboard. You know, it was just like so incredible.
I thought
it
you
was,
were
like,
gonna have like a
off.
Superpower.
Absolutely not. I thought like, what if I'm just like so good out of it? And I still like, you pee every time you shoot because like your body's still, you
your
know,
Vivi is saying, honey, we just did a huge
exactly
operation.
So
what
it's like, I will take off those
for?
Clothes and it'll just be full of pee. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I need to be playing. But
can
yeah,
I be honest
I
about something. Mm-hmm. I put on these underwear and I think it's the underwear's fault. But like when I just went pee earlier, my butt was like glued together, like my inside butt cheeks. And I'm like, wait, is this like, I don't want to say the word discharge, but like, it, what is happening? Like, what? And I, if anyone
That is
has the solution
really
just
funny.
Right in, but I had just, I've never experienced it before, just glued butt cheeks. That's, maybe my underwear
had sweat. That
been,
can't be sweat though.
I have a feeling my underwear was playing with some super glue. But like that's, I think, where my first detective hunch would be, is that underwear right. glue, because it was too gluey yeah, to be some mystery sauce that came from me.
Yeah, because like any mystery sauce, it doesn't usually make it glue together. Really.
And I wiped it, and I'm happy to say it was clear. It was not poopy, because if that's what you're thinking. So write in with your remedies.
Yes.
Write in with your predictions about my glue bet.
Somebody's going to get down to it.
Wait, before we change the diaper, you were saying you found, so then you confirmed donor.
Right.
Donor daddy in.
Right.
And then how many tries? What was the process?
It took two. So like we went the route of going to the clinic or whatever.
Clinic, okay.
Because, and that's like my choice, because I'm like, I'm
there's
not the type
like,
of person that can like, you know, yeah. the like the home way. There's something about it where I'm like, I'm going to fuck it up. So I like the clinic way.
Yeah. Everybody chooses the path that
right.
makes most sense. We chose Airbnb. Yes. Me being Dr. Lexi right. Galani.
You know what? Maybe like I feel like second baby, I'm not going to have the second baby. So then I'll be you in that,
yes.
in that case. And I'm.
Does it feel
I'm
good to be
so,
done?
Yeah, it
yeah.
does.
Yeah, you can't wait to be daddy.
Well, you know what? I probably would have if the snapback were like this. Like I thought like, oh, I'm going to like lose the weight by Christmas. I'm going to be like, you know, I'm going to be playing basketball 3 weeks after.
Oh, yeah.
It's... And it's so much, like, 6 weeks. It was fully 6 weeks. You cannot pee without it hurting. And nobody tells you about, like, how painful it is
oh,
afterwards.
The pee-pee hurt.
Yeah. So,
well, Shauna had emergency C-section. So then she had recovery, like, surgery recovery.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild. We were in the room and we had the doula and she was going, Shauna was doing natural. We were like we stayed home as long as we could because we heard the hospital is a nightmare. Once you get there, you don't want to.
Right.
So then.
So like
but
you
then
waited
we stayed,
for the water
and then by
to
the
break?
Time we, well, I do believe the
or,
water
or
did not know she was contracting
right.
and she was dilated, like fully dilated in her canal, but not in her cervix.
Oh,
so
okay.
when the nurses looked at her, they were like, damn, this Vivi is ready to GG, which stands for go, for all the non-PhDs listening. And then they rollerbladed out of there, brought
yes.
back like the whole sort of like, you know, where you put the prize and weigh the prize, the baby,
right.
you know, like the whole kit of
on
like, it's happening.
Blades,
and
which
we're
isn't
like,
easy.
I was, it was like, I think by the time we got there, it was like maybe 11 a.m. and I was like, damn, we're gonna have like sushi lunch. We'll be at Sugarfish in no
Finally.
Time. And then the doctor came in and was like, no, you're like really everything else is ready, but your cervix is not complete, which means that the cervix part was like he was wearing her cervix like a hoodie, and if she kept on pushing, it would be dangerous for the baby. It would be could tear your cervix. And so they were like, okay, let's give you an epidural. And this is like the culture. Did you do epidural?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the culture or going into childbirth is so like, I was going to say vegan, but like, you know what I mean? Like progressive to the
right.
point of like it where like the thing loops around and becomes oppressive
mm-hmm.
when you're super progressive and you're like, absolutely no C-section, absolutely no epidural. I am woman. And it's like, yeah, but it's also been many years of like women with different bodies and not childbearing, not like the most childbearing bodies creating
right.
other bodies. And now here you are, my wife, this little girl with a 9-pound baby inside of her that
Holy
is
shit.
Caught on your cervix. And it's like his heart rate started to go down. And that's when it was like, okay, we've got to do, she did epidural. We waited, the cervix still didn't complete. And then C-section. I was like, you know,
oh
but as soon as the heart rate started to like,
right
get not consistent, I was like, somebody cut this lady open.
Yeah,
did
yeah.
I say it first?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Was she okay with being having a C-section? Was
I
she...
mean, it wasn't her preference.
Right.
I think there's also like, because of the view of where we're at, it's
right.
like there's a bit of like you didn't win the match or something
right.
to it. But
which I feel bad. Like, I mean, like, I wish I could take that shame away from every woman.
Of course.
Because
yeah.
I mean, I definitely went into it and I'm like, whatever.
Okay,
happens.
Take that shame away from every
right.
woman. The other shame that I was just talking to my friend Sarah, who had a baby, mm-hmm. about this, but the other shame this is like a leap, but like flash forward, you have the baby, the shame around like getting back into your career post having a baby and the time that you take off and the way that women have this internalized sort of like pressure to like have it all.
Right.
My therapist was saying it's like the shadow side of feminism is that like now women are having babies and it's sort of like, and I'm doing a special and I've got the show and I've got the, and it's like, okay, but like, nah, I mean, that's not necessarily realistic. It might be like one, you know.
I mean, luckily I don't have those people knocking on my door asking me to do special or having
a
show.
No, well, it's not that. No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like
the
yearning of like the expectation. Like my wife is a wardrobe stylist.
Right.
And after having Wolfie, now Wolfie is 2 years old and she's getting back into her career, but she's approaching it differently because it's like you take all this time off and it's kind of cool actually. Like from my viewpoint, it's like, it's a new perspective. It's like you get back into your career with, and the stakes are different. You immediately have this whole other like, you know, soul.
Right.
And
right.
that, and for me too, as daddy, you know, as like.
The motivation is interesting. Like, I mean, your motivation feels different. My motivation is different. It was like, I guess selfish before. It's just like, yeah, I want to make it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like now it's like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I need to provide for her. It's still not that sort of motivation, but it's like you do have this like I have to be good so that you can see that I'm pretty good.
Yeah, and it just keeps you honest kind of because you're looking at this baby and you're feeling all of these like real sweet, hopeful, and really like you know the honesty of how limitless her life is, how many things that she can do, and then you start to think about the way you've punished yourself or like coded yourself with like things that you're not worthy of or, you know, and I mean this and it could be like very subliminal,
right?
You know, or just like, you know, I guess we were another quote from my chat with Sarah earlier was like just about taking swings.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want her to take swings and we get so tied up, especially when we're, I think of it as a comic, like coming back into comedy after taking time off.
Right.
I've learned over time after punishing myself that the looser I am and the more understanding of myself being loose in the reapproach of stand-up, the better it is for
me. Right.
Like not going into it being like, well, now I better do, like, you know, I haven't performed in months, so this better be like a tight 10. And it's like, what fuck are you talking about?
Right. Right. No, I get that. I mean, I've only performed 3 times since I've given birth. And it's, you know, part of me is like, do I have something to say yet? Or do I want to say anything yet? Like, I don't know. And I've never really taken that much time off of stand up. And
how long ago did you start doing stand up?
I mean, I did it like,
or how old were you?
Oh, 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, no, actually maybe 12. I was like 23.
It'll be 20 years for me in a couple of years.
Oh, cause you were like a teen.
I was a teenager. Yeah.
Oh my
16.
God, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow.
Yeah, it's such a long relationship. It's the longest relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't start having a relationship with my parents till I was in my later teens. I'm kidding. That's not even what a weird joke to make. I knew nobody till after comedy.
You, you probably never could have imagined that your career would go the way that it has, right?
Yeah, it's such a wild thing. And that's the whole, like the beauty of, I think we were kind of getting into talking about this before we started recording, but like that having a baby changes your path in this way that like, if you embrace it, then it's totally incredible. And in the past, there was almost like this time where there would be like a stigma of like, well, now she's got a baby. And like for actors to like hide that they have a baby or that it ages them or that like, you know,
I did hide like, I hid the pregnancy. I mean, it was kind of, I didn't show for like a pretty long time. I don't know if it's just because I'm tall. It was my first
baby.
You're
like a long, lean lady.
Right. And I just didn't like.
Triple L.
And I'll wear like a baggy, you know, shirt. And I went on.
A beanbag.
Yeah. I wore a beanbag. I put armholes in it.
That's like, if you've seen her.
It's actually not
she's
bad.
The long, lean lady with, you've seen her on late night. Long, lean lady with beanbag.
Beanbag comic. Yeah. Yeah, I had to stop doing that because other
so you hid the pregnancy from Sam
that.
And that
I did it was weird. Yeah. My wife was like,
why do we keep going to the clinic? And why did you keep taking us there?
The thing is, she hates surprises, but I was like, this is a surprise that she'll be into.
I love you not telling her because you know she hates surprises.
I'm like, this will be the one that, like, oh my God, she's going to be like, I love surprises now. I hit it for a while. It was kind of like accidental. Like, I would do shows and people wouldn't believe that I was pregnant. It was like, it's only like 5 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so I'd have to like lift up my entire shirt because
I'd
after.
I'd have to show them my tits, my bush, my butt.
Yeah, I did. Showed them my boobies.
Put glue in my butt.
Classic glue butt.
I had to.
Yeah, I had to.
I had to lift up my shirt. Well, I guess,
had to.
You had to prove that there was.
I had to prove myself to the audience in Highland Park.
Yes.
we're going to go on. But and then I was I'm not like saying I'm not doing this as a promotional tool, but I
oh,
was
God,
I
here did, comes here Mo schlepping her Tupperware.
But for $19.99 a month, you can get 6 Tupperware bowls.
I'm not trying to sell Come them, on. But you go to.
Do you like lip gloss? Because I sell Avon lip gloss.
Okay, what are you selling?
Skin
what,
so
what
soft.
What else are you selling?
Yeah. Whatever you sell at the door.
What do you
Bibles,
but
encyclopedias.
Before I took you into
oh,
the path
right.
of, you're like,
it was my,
the rest
no, no, no.
of the podcast is you being like, discotheque, record player. I clearly am not, I'm not yes anding in a
Who comes
non-DJ
by your door?
Direction.
I love that. So my book is called How to Die Alone.
Yes.
And I went on a book tour. And so I didn't want to show people that I was pregnant because it's called How to Die Alone. And
oh my God, that's
know,
so funny.
It was like I technically couldn't die alone even if I wanted to at the moment.
Yes,
so,
yes.
But also it felt like so off brand. Pregnancy for
Wait,
me.
Wait, so
in
you
general,
started writing the book when you were alone?
Yeah.
And then the book, and then you, by the time the book is written, you have a wife and a child. So you were you also like, I can't wait to meet anyone.
Oh my God. It
were
was,
you?
Yeah. No, it was, I think people know enough, like on the book tour, that at least I was married, but it felt
That's
like
That's a really
wrong.
Interesting thing. Like, how much before the book started did you meet Sam?
Well,
and were
it was
you,
like
running away from her being like, I need to sell this book.
I was like, listen, maybe in another time, but this is going to be really good for my career to be alone.
It's my brand.
Well, it's
imagine.
Like, so it's like the comics I draw is called Blair, and
yes.
it's very like,
so funny,
I am single
and
I am depressed.
And has a show.
Yeah, it's it's very like,
I'm single and I'm depressed, and it's a character based on you.
Right. It was like I started it when I was going through a breakup.
Yeah.
And so that was in August. And then in November, I met Sam. So for most of Blair, I've been with
oh my
Sam,
God.
You know,
yeah.
But it's like, I mean, really, if
but
you read
Blair
the comments, they're not.
I think Blair can be an essence and a part of you that's not. That's the cool thing about writing. I feel like if you have the nugget of what it is about you that you're writing about, you can totally carve out portions of your life. Like, you know, I'm writing a show about when I was 12 years old. I can,
exactly.
You know.
Right. And like she's, I mean, like it's, if you read the captions, you're like, it's mostly a joke. It's not like you have to be a single person with
and
a
it's
cat
a cartoon. It's not like your stand up is like, well, alone again when I get off stage from here, and your wife is like, why are you doing
everyone's
this?
Like, we are so depressed after watching your set. But I did.
It's like not even working or connecting with the audience, but you're like, babe, I have to. You don't understand. This
it's
is my brand.
It's my brand. The brand
I do
doesn't
feel,
work
honestly,
at all.
Like, this is a joke, but I do feel like a lot of comics, myself included, have felt trapped by the funniness of being dark or negative.
Right.
Trapped from progressing sometimes because you can get caught up in the thing that makes you funny, which is oftentimes the thing that's like dark or bad
right.
or pessimistic, you know? Like I was scared to do ayahuasca for that reason because I was like, what if I cure myself of having observations?
Oh my God.
But it's totally actually just keep everybody should obviously keep evolving.
Right.
Keep
right.
on changing and like you'll never, I mean,
and it's like you're going to observe no matter what, whether it's like a dark perspective or not. And it's,
yeah.
it can be funny either way, I guess.
Do ayahuasca, everybody. Cleo, all right, Cleo, are you listening?
Next podcast we want to do live.
Do live drug taking.
Yeah. She's been interested in Molly.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I said, 1999, the bowls are all different sizes. So you can get a mixing bowl.
So you get a small, you get a mixing. So I can make a salad in that bowl.
Right.
And then like kind of a cereal bowl.
Cereal bowl.
And then just sort of like a...
Just a tiny one, like a ramekin almost.
A ramekin, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And this is all for $19.99.
Yeah, a month for six Amazing. Months.
And then what's your Instagram handle?
My Instagram handle is Bowls from Mo.
Oh, you went...
Bowls from Mo. Went
integrity of the improv over personal promotion. I mean, yes. Mo, you never cease to amaze me. My butt's still kind of glued together over you. When you started doing stand-up in Chicago?
I actually started... wild story.
Ooh,
I
was, take me on a safari.
Yes. I was living in Wyoming. Yes. Believe it. Believe it. And
I love, I'm currently laying on the bed and Mo is swaying with Cleo in an ergo baby. So it's kind of like you're doing like personal stand up for me, especially with the line of like, well, I was in Wyoming.
And truly, I'm the type of person that like my energy changes when I stand up. Like I can never be a sit down comic because I'm already like have no energy.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Like I just put everyone to sleep. But so I was in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Laramie, Wyoming.
Yeah. I knew it.
Yeah.
You didn't have to say it.
Yeah. And I had just decided I could do comedy. And I started to go down to the improv theater in Denver once a week. Because I was like, I'm going to sign up for improv. So I started out there. And then I transitioned to stand up in Denver. I was in Denver for like 6 months or a year. And
improv
then I
to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And smooth then I went transition. To Chicago.
I was also fucking with... Fuxing and flexing with improv my whole life.
Were you like
did
the,
a little second
you were
city
the kid?
In Toronto? Did a little like, UCB New York, and then realized I don't want to coordinate all these rehearsals with all these people.
I know,
I love
it is,
the flow of talking yes. and creating, but like I literally cannot rent a space and rent a person to no, direct us. I'm like, what's happening
doing
here?
Stand-up is so much easier. Like if you love just being like I need to perform three times a week,
yes,
like do that. Don't
and go to badslava.com badslava.com and there's a I like no one talks about this and why is it called Bad Slava? Who knows what the mystery is, but it's all of the open mics in the world.
Yeah, that's bringing me back.
Yeah, Bad Slava, baby. I mean, oh,
should we try just to be make a goal of doing 200 open mics this year in 2020?
Two new lesbian moms do 200 open mics in 200 days.
I love the idea of you doing it now,
a
too.
Web series called Suicide.
Suicide's sticky button
it's the
Tupperware
new
lady.
Suicide girls.
oh, yeah. Then I went to Chicago.
Chicago.
Then I moved out here. I've been everywhere.
So, and then you didn't want to go to New York because you were like,
honestly,
why
it was
would
like
I leave
New York,
Chicago for.
Well, I was
city?
Like, Chicago wanted to leave real bad. I did not wait. A lot of comics waited until they were the best on the scene. I was like, you know, definitely on the lower 50%. I'm like, I'm out of here. I can't wait that long. I'm going to be out.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That long.
I was like, I can't
that.
Wait to be like the best comic in Chicago.
Oh,
it's like,
who's got
and
time
then you
for
realize,
that?
Like, does it matter? No,
it doesn't matter
it doesn't
at all.
Yeah. But you, in the moment, you think it does.
The best you, of course. Well, tell me about that. That's like a good life lesson, a goody goody. Is like that realization that when you look back at the way you thought, when you thought you had to be the best in Chicago, whatever the standard of best was.
Right. Or even like, the best lesbian comic was unattainable for me. Even like the best like lesbian
yeah.
who's 5'10".
Was there
you know?
Lots of lesbian comics in Chicago?
Yeah. Yeah. Cameron was there. Rhea, Candy Lawrence. There were and,
God,
then, and then Ever Maynard. Like, yeah, there were like
ton,
just like swimming in lesbian comics. And Whoa. I was like, not, I wasn't even close to being the lesbian you book on a show.
You, so you're like, I'm going to go to LA and just start a rumor that I was.
Yeah, I'm going to, totally.
Well, you got to start from the bottom when you come here anyway. So that was a good strategy, I would say.
It
but
was
tell
like
me
a good
about,
accidental
like,
move.
You know, that, what have you learned now with success and like looking back at that baby comic, what would be like some pieces of advice you would say? Or even one.
I mean, my advice is always to like just do something a little bit as much as you can, like, and I just say with like my drawing, it makes more sense with drawing, but it you can correlate it to stand up. But like, I wanted to draw again, so then I drew at least one comic each day.
That's a until huge, great yeah, goal.
And now like my drawing is better, my like writing, and it forced me to write a joke every single day.
I love comics. I used to mm-hmm. race for the comic section in newspapers,
the funny pages.
Yeah, fun pages.
I used to say like people are like, oh, were you into comics or comic books? And I was into the funny pages, but like my parents were like not newspaper readers, so like we never had the newspaper. But I realized for like 20 years I was telling this lie that like I always flipped the funny pages. I was like, we didn't even have newspapers
when I was at the chalet with Papa.
Right. I'm like, no, my mom was watching like Jenny Jones. Oh, Canadian
I
reference.
Loved Jenny Jones, and I also auditioned to be on it. I called them. They were like, you know, at the end when they're like catcalling for people to be on the show.
Yes.
It's not good.
It was always no
hey, toots.
It was always like it was like so specific though. Like, are you a woman who's over 6'5"
and a kleptomaniac yeah. with lesbian parents but can't really make sense of your mortgage?
Call now.
So the call to action was, would you do anything for money? Jenny wants to talk to you if you'll do anything for money. And I remember I was at my friend's cottage and I grabbed a phone and I was like, yes, I will. I talked to like one of the producer people, pre-producers. And I was like, I would do anything. I would just do anything for money. I just would do anything for money. And then I remember.
Wait, how old were you, like teenager?
I was maybe like 14.
Oh my God, I love it.
And they sent a FedEx. I remember feeling like, oh my God, this is such a big deal. They sent a FedEx pickup to my house like a week later. They're like, okay, just give them the VHS of you talking on camera and saying like showing what you'll do for money.
Right.
So I like went with my friends downtown and like put silly spray on a cop car. I wore like a bikini over my clothes. I just ran around town like a psycho and I didn't get a call. But you know, that must have been like $40 they spent to get my tape, and it really felt like my big break.
So the thought was that you putting a bikini top over your clothes, lesbian alert, was
banana yellow. Yeah,
that would make you money.
Well, it just was. I just didn't really know how to interpret anything for money. I think probably what they wanted was more of like a testimonial so they could see your face. Like if I was a producer on Jenny, I would be like looking for someone who looks at the camera and says like, yeah, I cut my cousin's dick off for money, you know, like something like
right.
provocative and like something that you've actually done.
You were
which
too
I had
innocent.
Done. I had cut my cousin's right. dick off, but I just was kind of in the wrong era. I didn't yeah. really know how to sink you, in and just be me.
Right. You were telling your truth.
I wasn't telling my truth.
Truth and comedy. Come
hiding
on.
Behind the bikini, you know? Okay, so one lesson that you have, which is so great, which is that you should just do a little bit.
I think you should just do it. Like, it can be so hard to like see your goal. Like, you know, if you want to lose 50 pounds, like,
don't
it's
look
hard.
At me when you say that.
I looked at Cowboy.
I don't have 50 pounds to give.
I looked at Cowboy.
God, since she got here, it's just Mo. Like, if you want to lose 50 pounds, if you want
to
lose.
I'm just trying to lose my baby weight now, and it's on my mind.
Mo,
but I'm like,
but the way you look at me when you say it, and you sneer, and the cackles.
If you guys want to lose 200 pounds, call okay, me. So, it's my other
yeah,
thing
if
I'm
you
selling.
Want to lose weight, you got to do a little bit about it.
You just got to do a little bit. Like, think about your daily goal instead of thinking about the whole thing.
Yes.
And like, I,
you know, this guy, Harley Pasternak, who is a business genius and Ashley Tisdale's personal trainer. And I just interviewed him recently.
Uh-huh.
He was sick because he's like a total like mogul, like has his own blender, has like made Halle Berry's body Catwoman. Like it has like such a diverse portfolio of like
right.
business things. He was talking about enjoying really understanding that the journey is the destination and not chasing goals, but looking at actually just like the day to day of what you're doing and enjoying
right.
that and like leaning into that
right.
so that I'm not like talking to you during this podcast being like, this is going to be a fucking incredible podcast. Two young lesbians in Highland Park speaking and just get so horny for like to be written up by
right.
a vulture.
Right.
Again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I just want to say thank you so much
yeah.
for all the write-ups that are about to happen about
yeah,
this
thank
pod.
You, vulture.
But like that it is about like having the conversation
right Yeah.
Yeah. Watch us both freeze up now.
Freeze up. Because now I'm all I'm thinking like, about is Vulture.
It's all about the conversation.
I'm just thinking about your shout out on Vulture.
It was long. It was short. It was several. It was few.
Wow.
Not to get bogged down by the daunting task of losing 250 pounds.
Right.
But by saying like, oh, now I'm going to eat healthy.
Yeah. I guess it is like in the moment sort of thing. Like when I write jokes or drawing, I actually am really happy.
Yeah.
And it's just because you're living in the moment.
You look mentally ill. You just cackle to yourself.
It's horrible because I do it in public.
Yeah.
And
you'll be in a green room, like writing at your set list. And you'll just be like, you'll have like kind of like a flirtatious look, but it's with yourself. And then you do touch yourself a lot.
I touch myself a lot. And I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I think about that front row and how much they're going to enjoy that
joke.
I imagine their faces. Oh my God. I love when you come up with a new joke. You're like, this is probably my most brilliant joke and never works ever. Never,
yes.
Never, ever. But you love it so much. You keep doing it.
Yeah. And that is my act.
That
a collection of things that
I love and
around.
No one likes.
What is your writing process? Do you do in a journal and then to the stage, or
I do like
when I first started, obviously. Did you do that? I did like
first
word
started,
for word what
yes,
I was
word
say.
For word,
yeah.
And then I would, because I had a 3-hour drive from Wyoming to Denver, so
oh, yeah,
I would practice that
babble
like,
to yourself,
yeah, that like 3-minute open mic set, and then I would eat it. Of
yeah.
course. And then I have to drive
eat
back
the paper.
3 hours. I'd eat the paper.
As
eat the
well
microphone.
Oh, so you drive 3 hours.
Right.
That is interesting and long.
Well, it's the ride back
like
was
that
always
moment
funny.
In your life. The ride back was funny?
Well, the ride back was like funny because it was so sad. It was just like the ride there, there was so much hope. Like,
yes,
like this is going to work. I am going to be a stand up.
It's 3 hours
know?
Of like fantasy dream sequence.
Right. And, then,
and anxiety.
Yeah. And then 3 hours back, it's just like, wow, I wish I wouldn't have done this and this.
Like,
and
which way do you
why
cut
didn't
yours?
I do? Yeah. Why didn't I just like say it how I was saying it in the car? And,
yeah.
Right.
Saying it like you're saying it in the car. I think that's like one of the most useful things about stand up is like just the practice of saying it like you say it in the car
right.
in the moment.
Right.
And I think it's the reason why when you say like I'm a stand up comic to people, they immediately have a reaction based around the question of like, is that something I would ever do? You know, like
right.
it's I think like at no other job, it is the thing of like, I've always thought that I could, or they
yeah.
say, well, I could never. And it's like,
right.
no one asked you, bitch.
That's
eat your
so
fucking
true.
Potatoes and walk away,
you're,
bitch.
Oh my God.
This always happens to
it's
be at my
so
favorite
true.
Potato shop.
Your favorite. Is it a potato
imagine
shop or is it
a
potato buffet?
It's a potato. It's a
I
potato
immediately imagined
shop.
Old Country Buffet.
It's like the meatball shop.
Right.
Except the meatball shop sells salads. This is just variations of potato.
It's like pea soup. Anderson, it's only potatoes.
It's only potatoes.
Tune in next Tuesday to find out if Mo says this.
I don't know if you felt like this, but like having a baby is like a little bit off brand, but it's also like my brand and my real self.
Chances are she does. And Sabrina says this.
Options are low. Gary dumped me.
And Wolfie says this.
He says no. He says no.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.